I'm not from Michigan. Actually, I'm from Ohio. And the people in my church wear maize and blue that day when the Buckeyes play. And I think, is there still a team in Ann Arbor? They're still playing football in Ann Arbor? They're still playing. Okay. Well, we have a lot of fun with that. Here's the scripture I've chosen, Romans chapter 12. I was going to talk on karma and grace, because I think most of us believe in karma, even though the New Testament believes in grace. But I'm going to do that tomorrow. I am really caught up by this Epworth experience, and so I wanted to kind of change what I was going to talk about tonight to include that. So the text I chose, Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, I want to tell the boat out there that I feel right at home. It inevitably happens, folks, that when people want to get married in Florida, they want to get married on the beach, and they want to get married at sunset. Well, guess what happens at sunset for the boaters? That's when all the boaters are coming back. And, you know, most of them, by the time they're coming back, they've been out all day. They're in a spirit of revelry. So here we are down at the beach with this wedding, and the boaters are all coming and everybody cheering the bride and groom, but it is a happy occasion. So let's pray. Gracious God, whenever you join us, it's an occasion to ponder, yes, even to celebrate, that even in death, you are present. And so be with us tonight on this beautiful evening in this part of your creation to open our minds and hearts, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, how many of you are SEC football people? Yeah, SEC. So some of you may know Toomer's Corner. I don't know if I can take this out or not. Maybe I shouldn't try. But anyhow, Toomer's Corner. Have you ever heard of Toomer's Corner? Auburn University, the corner of College and Magnolia for 84 years, these two magnificent oak trees towered at the entrance to Auburn University so that all the incoming students passed underneath those mighty oak trees. And of course, it was the occasion every football game. They toilet papered it and gathered around it and had their big, you know, pre-game cheering sessions. But then it was, and not to mention what school caused this, University of Alabama, but somebody got it in their mind before the Auburn-Alabama game to poison the oak trees. You know, it's the kind of thing I guess people do without thinking. Well, they did everything that they could to save those two trees. They couldn't. So what do? You have a funeral service for the two trees. 83,401 people came to that funeral. And they know because they counted the crowd from an aerial view. Now, what is it that can cause 83,000 people to come together like that? Except that those trees represented something of the spirit of Auburn University. They bonded each other. They belonged. People belong to Auburn Nation. And that's what I've been thinking about. Because when you come back to Epworth, you have, at least I feel, the sense of rootedness that you have that is found very few places in the United States. Today, I think that we find our team that roots us, bonds us. But there was a time when it was all about the family. We lived near our family. Maybe grandparents lived upstairs
aunts and uncles lived around us. We went to school with our cousins. When you were in school, the teacher would say, "Now I know, Johnny Logan, I know your parents. So you went to church. You went to the same church. You were always together for special occasions, for baptisms, for holidays. The family made us one." And then what happened? How many of you have moved at least 3 times in your life? 4 times? 5 times? So where do you find that sense of rootedness? There was a time, you know, back in the day where you would walk into a crowd and they said, "Well, who are you?" And you'd say, "Well, I'm a Hartrick from Logan County." And they'd say, okay, we know your family. We know who you are." And it gave you that sense of belonging. Today, I wonder, in this incredibly mobile world of ours, where do we find belonging? So we moved to Atlanta, this million people around us. How do we feel any sense of belonging? Well, we become Atlanta Braves fans. And suddenly, we wear our hat, our insignia, we have the flag to fly, and we have family there that we relate to. Those two trees at Auburn University, I think, represented something intangible and strong. Now, it so happened that our daughter married a gentleman from Birmingham, Alabama. And they decided to get married in Birmingham, Alabama, and it happened they got married on the day of the game, Auburn, Alabama. Now, I grew up in Ohio. I grew up in Big Ten country. I thought that was crazy. You get down into the South, and football is different. And the Auburn, Alabama game, everybody in that state was dressed in either Auburn or Alabama colors. They just are incredible. But I also happened to be in Europe during the World Cup. 3.2 billion people. And we think we're crazy about football. Well, they say that football is soccer. But 3.2 billion people are involved in soccer, and their team, they're like a tribe. It is so strong. There's a story that was reported, true story, not long ago in the New York Times, about a woman, young gal, wanted to get married and dealt with her family about, you know, getting married and, you know, who's going to pay for this and that, and they got it all set, and the parents said, "But one thing, whatever you do, you don't get married the third Saturday of October, because that's the Tennessee-Alabama game." Well, she couldn't get a reception any other time because she waited a little bit late to do her planning. So guess when the wedding was? The third Saturday of October. And as the New York Times reported, her parents had a decision to make. But they did make the reception. There's something about sport in America today. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've had themed funerals where, you know, because people come to Florida and they leave their family behind them. Most recently, it was a Pittsburgh Steeler casket. The casket was in Pittsburgh Steeler colors, and everybody was asked to wear Pittsburgh Steeler colors. And I think it was simply to say, that's where our family was. That's where our roots were. For many people, it has become family. And the thing, too, is when you go to a football game, you're not red or blue. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your economic activity. When you go to a game, you're just part of Auburn Nation or, you know, Michigan State Nation. I don't want to use the name of the school in Ann Arbor. But my first SEC football game, our youngest son went to University of Florida. Went to the game, and I got in there, and I started to sit down. He said, "Dad, we don't sit." I said, "What?" He said, "No, Dad, this is SEC. You don't sit." So we stood for the entire football game. What's going on in this country? Are we that starved for community, for this sense of belonging? And women, you might say, "Well, you know, I think that's a guy thing." But listen to this. The Collegiate Licensing Company
says that sales of women's sports apparel has increased by 148% in the last 5 years. And if you look around the crowd, there are even some of you wearing sports paraphernalia. So what's happening in this country? What's happened to our family? What's happened to our sense of belonging, to our sense of being part of a community, something that is bigger than who we are? And it seems sometimes that we feel as though we are simply individuals and we're not connected. Back in the day, the major issue in Christianity was heaven and hell. What happens when I die? Is God gracious? I don't know that that's the question that people ask today. I understand why it was the question for so many years. Back in Jesus' day, the life expectancy was 25 years old. One-third of the people died before their 18th birthday. What happens to my brother, to my sister, to my mother? Childbirth, the leading cause of death. Is God gracious? What happens? Does God open his arms to receive them home? But today, folks, to be honest with you, when I visit people who are in their 90s or older, that's not the question they're asking. The question they're asking is about meaning, about purpose. Why am I still alive? What is there for me to do? People need something that roots them, that makes all the difference in their lives. They want to be part of something bigger than they are. A couple weeks ago, I read a book, and I'd recommend this book to you, but it's 400 pages and not too many pictures. It's called Sapiens. Have any of you read it? You've read it, yeah. It's about the human race, Homo sapiens. But what he talks about is this strong need, primary need, a primal need that we have to belong and to be a part of a community. And then he points out that there is research. And the research that he points out is that family and community is actually more important to our well-being than money or health. Now think about that. What's the most important thing in life? Well, I've got my health and I got a few dollars so I can enjoy my life. But he's saying that's not what the research says. The research says is that when people have a sense of belonging, that people care about them, they're in a community. That is so important. And I think that's something about Epworth that I thought about after I left you the last time 3 years ago, and something that I've thought about since I've been coming back. As Yuval Harari, and he is the author of this book, he just came out with a new book a month ago, he writes, "We live in an increasingly lonely world of unraveling communities and family." You know, why is it that well-educated people with their health and affluence commit suicide? And why is it that we have what seems to be this rash of teenage suicides? I wonder if it's because a lot of people don't feel connected, don't feel that people would mourn them and that their life is so important to others that they would be missed. In the book Sapien, he also speaks of the research done by Daniel Kahneman. Daniel Kahneman was an economist. He won the Nobel Prize. And what Kahneman does is he talks about, and this is why he won the Nobel Prize, he calls it a paradox. The paradox is that people can do work that doesn't seem to be much fun, and yet they can derive If they derive importance and meaning from it, it gives them incredible well-being. So here's his example, a young mother. He had them catalog their day, half hour, and everything you did in that half hour you wrote down. And you wrote down whether it was pleasurable or unpleasurable. Well, those of you who remember raising children, There's a lot of things in there, like diapers and temper tantrums and spills and cleanups and chasing the kids around and being exhausted and hope they'll go down for a nap that aren't a lot of fun. And yet what he found out, even though the not so fun completely outweighed the fun stuff, they said it was the most meaningful, important time in their life because they knew that their life mattered, that they were part of something more important than just themselves. And I just sense that maybe we as a community need something more than belonging to Dodger Nation or being a part of an Auburn community. In biblical times, they feared God. They feared death. They didn't know what would happen. Death was so close. But today, I find a lot of people who fear meaninglessness far more. Again, in Sapien, he talks about the Gilgamesh Project. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That is that we are pushing our longevity back farther and farther and farther. And how many people today who are 80 thought they would live to be 80? Well, how many of these younger people who are here, when they are 110, say, I never expected to live to be 110. But we keep pushing it back. But what happens if we push it back further and further and further? And people get to live to be 150, but they don't have any why. They don't feel any purpose. They don't feel connected to anybody. And that's where I think the church has to make a difference. I think what the church has lost is that sense that we are an extended family, that we are community. You know, if you go back to the encounters of Jesus, what did Jesus do? He didn't hit somebody with a creed and say, do you believe this, 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 and this? Or did he simply go and he said, why don't you come and be a part of something else? Something bigger than yourself. Jesus invited people to be a part of a community just to say, come with me. And I think sometimes we get it backwards in the church. We think that people become a Christian and then they join the church. And that's true. It happens. But maybe it also happens that people join a community where people have similar values, a people that are seeking what it means to follow God, what it means to say there is a creator. And people come to this community of meaning, and then they find themselves growing into that answer. They find themselves learning the grammar of faith. I don't know that where the church needs to begin is to get into somebody's face and say, do you know what's going to happen to you tonight if you die? Because most people, that question is not even on their radar screen. I think instead, if we're the kind of community that offers hospitality, a place where individuals can come, where people care about them, where they nurture them, where they allow their spirits and their faith to grow, I think the church can kind of move forward in new ways. Too often, I think now somebody comes to the church and we say, well, will you serve on a committee? Or will you be an usher? Or the first thing we say is, well, are you coming by transfer of faith or by reaffirmation or whatever? And maybe what we ought to do is just say, you know, we're glad you're here. I think it used to be people moved into a community and they went to church. And I don't know that they were all believers, but they believed in the community. They believed in the purpose, and I think they wanted their children to have that experience. And I think slowly on, the faith, like a seed, grew and grew. But I don't think they all came to church with that faith. The faith deepened. So what I leave with you with tonight is to say to you, I think you've got something very, very special here at Epworth. The places I meet people, it's, oh, yeah, that's my grandparents' cottage. Oh, yeah, we grew up together. Yeah, I know them. Well, yeah, we live in different places now, but we come back and we get together. We've stayed in touch in a sense of belonging. I think that is a primal human need. And I think the church, in the spirit of Christ,
should be less concerned that people are creedal, that people can say the confessions, and more concerned that people feel that this is a community where people are growing and being nurtured and loved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this Epworth community. Of course, we understand that all families have their issues and their challenges, and so it's true of every community. But this community, for more than 100 years, has kept something very special. And we pray for our churches, all the churches to which we belong, that they may be open, inclusive, evolving, and that hospitality may be real. And people can come to our churches to grow, to learn, and to find the meaning of their lives. So bless us for the rest of this evening. For those who are headed home already, travel mercies. For those who will be leaving, bless them as well. And until we meet again, be with us, we pray, in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you. Oh, okay.